Rule number 4. When someone decides she's going to beat you up, the best thing to do is hide. The thing is, I've had girls hate me before. I've had girls so mad at me, they haven't spoken to me for weeks. But none of them has ever actually threatened to beat me up. Mostly they just ignored me or said mean things about me behind my back or called me Allie Stinkle and stuff. But Rosemary meant business. Erica told me she once beat up a kid named Morgan Hayes because Morgan ruined Rosemary's papier-mâché dragon in art class by accidentally sitting on it. So as revenge, Rosemary sat on Morgan until Morgan cried. And Morgan was a boy and a fifth grader. When someone is going to beat you up, of course you have to take evasive action, such as watching your back, developing eyes in the back of your head, and basically running and or hiding. Fortunately, Rosemary took the bus home from school, so it wasn't like she could jump me from the bushes as I was walking home. If she tried this, she'd miss her ride and be stranded at Pine Heights Elementary overnight. So the only place I really needed to worry about her was on the playground during morning, lunch, and afternoon recesses. The good thing was, as soon as Caroline, Sophie, and Erica heard what happened, they assured me they'd help me look out for her, which was really, really nice of them. And made me feel like, in spite of everything else that had happened, my first day at my new school hadn't been that bad, really. Having friends is a nice feeling, even if none of them is a best friend. But really, Caroline said as we walked home from school, leaves crunching under our feet, you should just tell Mrs. Hunter what Rosemary said. No, you shouldn't, Sophie said, shaking her head until her dark glossy curls bounced. That will just enrage her further, like a monkey. Sophie, it turns out, is afraid of monkeys. Even though I assured her that monkeys rarely attack humans, as I know from the vast amount of reading I have done on the subject of mammals. Rosemary's not that bad, Erica the peacemaker said. I beg to differ, Sophie said. Remember what she did to Morgan? That's an urban myth, Caroline scoffed. I heard he broke those ribs skiing when he was visiting his dad. Honestly, Erica said, I think Rosemary was just letting off some steam. In a day or two, she won't even remember she was mad. She doesn't have a good memory anyway. Remember how long it took her to memorize the multiplication tables? I don't know. Caroline looked dubious. But I do know Mrs. Hunter isn't going to let someone in her own class get killed. But Mrs. Hunter can't be there all the time, Sophie reminded us all. This was, sadly, very true. Still, for a little while anyway, avoiding Rosemary seemed to work. I started to think maybe Erica was right and that Rosemary had forgotten she was so mad at me. I was trying to be on my best behavior at school, not chit-chatting at all during class, not raising my hand to answer questions, being the last one in line to recess and to the music and art rooms, etc., so as not to draw attention to myself. In this way, I hoped that Rosemary would forget about my existence and, therefore, forget that she ever wanted to kill me. And it seemed to be working. For a few days, she didn't even look at me. It helped, too, that Kevin had gotten over his desire to dress as a pirate, due to his impressive rave-winning performance that first day and Mom's insistence that his costume was dirty and needed to be cleaned. And since it was dry clean only, this meant it had to be taken to the cleaners. There was nothing to draw attention to me at school at all. After what Mom called a rough start to my week, and I didn't even tell her about Rosemary, she just meant the thing with the popcorn for breakfast and wearing a skirt with jeans on my first day. Things seemed to be going pretty well. Mom had even found the box with my leggings and tights in it, and Home Depot had called to say they'd located our stove. It wasn't due to arrive for another month, but at least they knew where it was. Things were looking up. I even got invited to a slumber party at Caroline's house. This was a very big deal, because it was the first slumber party I'd been to that wasn't with my friends from my old school. And okay, it wasn't a huge slumber party. It was just me, Erica, Caroline, and Sophie. But it was still super fun. We got to make dim sum, which are Chinese dumplings, with Caroline's dad's girlfriend, Wei Lin. Only, it turns out you have to remember to wash your hands before you knead the dough, or it will turn out gray. But, like Wei Lin said, oh well, next time. And despite what Sophie said, none of us got a stomach parasite from eating dirty dumpling dough, because if there were any parasites in it, they probably got baked. So I was in a pretty good mood until I got home, and Mom greeted me at the door looking like she had some bad news. What? I said, because Mom only wore that expression when she had something to tell me, and she didn't know quite how to break the news, like that we were out of Honey Nut Cheerios, and I was going to have to eat the plain kind.
Mrs. Hauser called while you were gone, honey, Mom said.
Mrs. Hauser is the lady who owns Lady Serena Archibald.
She did? I threw down my sleeping bag and overnight case. I was pretty tired from my sleepover, even though it had been such a fun one. We'd stayed up most of the night watching DVDs and telling ghost stories. I don't like to brag, because no one likes a braggart. That's a rule. But my ghost stories, about a zombie hand, had been the scariest. Sophie told me she'd been so scared, she hadn't been able to sleep all night, thinking a zombie hand was going to come out of the attic in the night and strangle her. Even though I told her there's no such thing as a zombie hand.
They're worried Lady Serena Archibald is going to have the kittens too soon, Mom said. Mrs. Hauser's taken her to the vet, and they're trying to see what they can do. But there's a chance Lady Serena might lose all the kittens, or maybe even die herself. Even if she does have them, they might be too young to survive. If they do survive, they'll need a lot of special care. Mrs. Hauser just wanted you to know. I'm so sorry, honey.
My eyes filled up with tears. I couldn't believe that while I'd been at Caroline's house, making dirty dim sum and telling ghost stories, Lady Serena Archibald, the mother of Musette, my kitten-to-be, had been maybe almost dying. Or losing Musette.
I don't care how much special care Musette needs, I yelled. I'll do whatever it takes to keep her alive. I'm going to be a veterinarian anyhow, so it's never too early for me to start learning what I'll need to do.
Allie, stop yelling, Mom said, looking more worried than ever. How will you look after a sick kitten while you're at school? A prematurely born kitten might need round-the-clock attention. You certainly can't stay up all night caring for it and also go to school.
I can take Musette to school with me, I said. My desk is big enough to keep a kitten inside. Mrs. Hunter will let me. I know she will.
Mom looked more worried than ever, but I knew I was right. Mrs. Hunter was the nicest, prettiest teacher in the whole world. I knew she'd let me keep Musette with me in my desk at school all day. Maybe even in the pink feathered canopy cat bed I'd seen at the mall. Although I wasn't sure if the bed would fit in my desk. In fact, I was pretty sure it wouldn't.
But maybe I can make a temporary bed for Musette out of a shoebox. A shoebox would fit. Or almost fit. I would be the only girl in the whole school with a sick newborn kitten in her desk. Everyone would see what a caring, nice person I was as I fed Musette from a bottle every hour, nursing her back to health. Even Rosemary would stop wanting to beat me up when she saw what a good nurse I was to a sick cat. I ran over to Erica's house to tell her about Musette and see if she had any shoeboxes, because all the boxes in our house were huge since we'd just moved and had recently contained not one pair of shoes, but like 20. Or a coffee maker or set of golf clubs. Fortunately, Erica's sister Melissa had just bought a new pair of tap shoes. In addition to baton twirling, Missy is also an accomplished jazz and tap dancer. So we were able to spend the afternoon making a beautiful bed for Musette, even using a tiny velvet bag that used to hold a pair of Missy's earrings for Musette to rest her sweet, precious little head on. Only it turned out Missy hadn't really thrown out the velvet bag, and when she found out it was missing, she came storming into Erica's room and ripped it out of the bed we'd made and called us a couple of ingrates and laughed cruelly at the idea of us ever nursing a sick premature kitten to health when we tried to explain, then stomped out again. But Erica said to ignore her, and that Melissa was always like that right before a twirling competition, and that there was one coming up next week. I said I understood, even though I didn't. I knew Erica was just trying to keep the peace, like Caroline said she always does. When we were done looking up the word ingrate in the dictionary and deciding that we aren't actually ungrateful or self-seeking, we went down into Erica's dining room and rang the secret bell under the dining table, which signals the maid in the kitchen. If Erica's family had a maid, but they don't. The bell is left over from olden times. Until Erica's mom came out and told me it was time to go home. I took the shoebox and went home and asked Mom if there was any more news from Mrs. Hauser, but there wasn't. By that time, we were all sitting down to a dinner of salad and microwaved macaroni and cheese, which we eat quite a lot since we have no stove or oven. Also, Uncle Jay was visiting.
"Well," he said when we had all gathered at the table, "I have some interesting news."
"So do I," I said. "I'll go first. Lady Serena Archibald, the mother of my kitten-to-be, Musette, has gone into early labor and might die or have the kittens too soon, and they might be very sick, but that's okay because as a future veterinarian, I'm prepared to nurse a premature kitten."
"No," Mom said. "Allie, that is not going to happen without some discussion first. That is too much responsibility for a 9-year-old girl. Jay, please tell us your news."
"Well," Uncle Jay said, "it's not quite as interesting as Allie's news, I'm afraid. But I spoke to Mom today. My mom, that is. And, well, kids, Grandma's coming."
Mom laid down her fork with a bang.
Dad said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot. My mother is coming to visit next week."
"Yay!" Kevin yelled. "Grandma's coming. I hope she'll buy me a book about pirates."
"I hope she'll buy me a dirt bike," Mark said.
"You just got a new mountain bike for your birthday," I reminded him.
"None of the kids in this neighborhood ride mountain bikes," Mark said. "They all ride dirt bikes, so I need a new bike."
"That's stupid," I said. "There's no difference between a dirt bike and a mountain bike."
Mark said. "Excuse me, but there's a ton of difference."
I said, "Excuse me, but you're wrong. And even if that's true, you don't need a whole new bike just to fit in. If your new friends don't like you the way you are, then they aren't really your friends."
"True," Mark said, "but I do need a whole new bike so I can do freestyle BMX racing or tricks."
Mom wasn't listening to our conversation, so she wasn't able to break in to say over her dead body was a son of hers going to become a freestyle BMX racer or trick performer.
"Your mother is coming to visit next week?" she asked Dad instead.
"She wants to see the new house," Dad said. "And the kids, of course."
"We don't have an oven," Mom said. "The bed in the guest room isn't set up. There aren't curtains in there."
"I'd offer to let her stay with me," Uncle Jay said. "But there's a reptile living in my spare bathroom."
"My mom's not picky," Dad said to Mom. "It's about visiting with family, not the luxury of the accommodations. Besides, she likes microwaved macaroni and cheese. Or she'll learn to like it anyway."
"Why didn't you tell me you'd invited your mother to visit?" Mom asked Dad.
"I forgot," Dad said with a shrug. "Come on, it won't be that bad. It'll just be for a week."
"She can sleep in my bed," I said. "I can sleep in my sleeping bag on the floor. It will be easier to get up to nurse Musette there." After dinner, Mom said she had a headache and had to go to bed early. Dad went upstairs to check on her. Uncle Jay helped me rinse the dishes and put them in the dishwasher while Mark and Kevin watched the half hour of family-friendly television we are allowed to view each night.
"So," Uncle Jay said, "a premature kitten. That's a lot of responsibility."
"Yes," I said. "And that's only if Lady Serena Archibald doesn't die. I sure hope she doesn't."
"If one life fails, another will take its place," Uncle Jay said, handing me a bunch of dripping silverware to put in the dishwasher. "At least with death comes a cessation of suffering."
"Whatever," I said. I was used to Uncle Jay's ramblings. "But I still really want a kitten."
"You'll still get a kitten," Uncle Jay said, "if it's meant to be. Lady Serena just may not be your kitten's mother."
But I really wanted Lady Serena to be my kitten's mom. I loved Lady Serena Archibald's long, silky fur and the way she'd purr as she butted her head against your hand if you held it out to her. Surely her kittens would have the same sort of fur and do the same thing with their heads. I really,
really hoped Lady Serena would be okay. But Mrs. Hauser didn't call, and I couldn't ask Mom to call her because Mom had gone to bed early. It was hard to sleep that night because I kept thinking about Lady Serena and praying that she would be okay. In the morning when I woke up, it was almost as if I hadn't gotten any sleep whatsoever. I felt super draggy, and I didn't feel like going to school at all. What did school matter when a cat was possibly dying? Maybe it was because I was so tired that I didn't remember until Erica reminded me on the way to school that it was the day of the big fourth grade spelling bee when Mrs. Hunter's fourth grade class was competing against Mrs. Danielson's fourth grade class for spelling champion of our grade. I am not the world's greatest speller under the best of circumstances, but I guess I had studied a little, looking up the word ingrate and all. Still, I didn't have much faith I was going to perform very well, given how little sleep I'd had and how worried I was over Lady Serena. Caroline, Sophie, and Erica tried to comfort me, but there really wasn't very much they could say or do, even though it was nice of them to try. Especially Caroline, because she didn't feel too well on account of having eaten way too many of Mrs. Harrington's chocolate chip cookies that Erica had brought over for the slumber party. Sophie suggested maybe Caroline's stomach ache was because of a parasite in the dirty dumpling dough, but I pointed out that none of the rest of us were sick, and Caroline had eaten about 30 of those cookies. Even Sophie had to agree this was true. I just couldn't get the picture of beautiful Lady Serena with her long silver blue fur lying on a veterinary hospital gurney with an oxygen mask over her little cat nose panting for breath out of my head. If only I knew whether or not she was going to be okay. It was hard enough to pay attention during my first class, math, what with wondering whether I was going to get a baby kitten after all. But then there was the anticipation of the spelling bee, which caused everyone to keep glancing at the clock. It was going to be held down in the gym, because that was the only room big enough for both fourth grade classes. Everyone was waiting for Mrs. Hunter to say, "Okay, class, it's time to line up." Some people in the class, like Rosemary, who actually liked competition, unlike me, it's never fun when somebody loses and ends up crying. That's a rule. Couldn't wait. They were so excited. They kept whispering things like, "We're going to smear Danielson's class," and "Caroline's going to win. Wait and see," because Caroline had won the third grade spelling bee last year. Which was good. I was glad I was friends with the girl who was going to win. And it took some of the pressure off me. Even though I don't like competition, I sure didn't want to be in the losing class or be the person who caused our class to lose. And then, before I knew it, Mrs. Hunter was saying, "All right, class, it's time. I hope you're ready," which I most definitely was not. If Mom and Dad would just let me have a cell phone, I could have called them to see if they'd heard anything about Lady Serena Archibald, and then I'd have known how she was doing, and I wouldn't have been so nervous. Why won't they let me get a cell phone? It's so unfair. We all got into our lines, and Mrs. Hunter started leading us down the stairs to the gym. On the way, we ran into Mrs. Danielson's class, who were also going down to the gym. Even though we aren't supposed to talk when we're in our lines, I heard Rosemary go, "We're going to kill you," to Mrs. Danielson's class. "See this girl?" Rosemary pointed to Caroline. "She's going to knock you down and wipe you up like a mop." I wondered if Mrs. Danielson's class was as scared as I'd been when Rosemary had told me she was going to beat me up. She hadn't mentioned this to me in a while, but I knew this was only because she'd temporarily forgotten about me. Pretty soon, I'd probably do something to remind Rosemary that she wanted to knock me down and wipe me up like a mop. It was really only a matter of time. Still, Mrs. Danielson's class didn't look that scared. They trooped over to the chairs that Mr. Elkhart, the custodial arts manager, had set up for us to sit in on their side of the gym, while we sat in the ones he'd set up for our class. Everyone was nervously talking and giggling, especially when we saw the neat row of 10 chairs lined up beneath the basketball net in front of the stage and near the entrance to the gym. I asked Erica what those chairs were for, and she said, "They're for the 10 finalists." I said, "Oh." I really hoped I wouldn't mess up if I got to be one of the 10 finalists and I was standing in front of everyone,
especially if I was standing in front of Rosemary. It was only then that Caroline whispered to me,
"Allie, I don't know if I can win this time. I'm really not feeling well."
I whispered back, "Is it the cookies?" Caroline, looking miserable, nodded. I swallowed hard. I couldn't believe it. If Caroline didn't win the spelling bee for her class, someone was going to get knocked down and wiped up like a mop. And I had a feeling that someone wasn't going to be in Mrs. Danielson's class. It was going to be the kid from our class who missed the last word. I, for sure, didn't want that kid to be me. That's when the spelling bee started. Mrs. Hunter and Mrs. Danielson took turns going down the rows, asking kids to spell different words. To be fair, Mrs. Danielson took the kids from Mrs. Hunter's class, and Mrs. Hunter took the kids from Mrs. Danielson's class. So no kid had an unfair advantage of being asked words the teacher knew that he or she would get right. If a kid got a word right, then he or she stood up. If he or she got the word wrong, then he or she sat down and was out of the bee. That's how it would get down to the final 10 kids who would stand up in front of the whole gym. Already, Mrs. Danielson's class was down 4 people, and Mrs. Hunter's class was down 5 when it was my turn. My heart was beating so hard when Mrs. Danielson got to me. I thought I was going to throw up. "Let it be an easy word," I prayed. "Easy word, easy word." Really, I had way more to worry about already than letting down my class. I mean, why me? I was maybe already the stepmother of a premature kitten. I didn't need to lose a spelling bee on top of that already very stressful worry.
"Horse," Mrs. Danielson said. "Allie, your word is horse."
Oh my gosh, could I have gotten an easier word? Really? I have been reading books about horses since the first grade. I stood up and was confidently about to spell horse when I glanced at Caroline and saw her eyebrows sloped downward in concern. Wait a second. Why did Caroline look so worried? Everyone knew how to spell horse. Mark in the second grade could spell horse. What was the big deal? Then I remembered. There were 2 different versions of the word horse. Wow, I had almost missed my very first word, and because of an easy mistake. "Could you use the word in a sentence, please?" I asked.
"Your voice is sounding very hoarse today," Mrs. Danielson said.
Whoa, I had almost spelled the wrong version. I would have missed and been out because of a silly mistake. Good thing I'd looked at Caroline. "Horse," I said. H-O-A-R-S-E. Horse.
"Very good," Mrs. Danielson said, smiling. "You may remain standing."
I glanced over at Mrs. Hunter and saw her give me a big smile. Phew, I hadn't let down the class. I sneaked a glance at Rosemary. She didn't exactly smile at me, but she didn't look like she wanted to kill me either. I didn't really get to see what she thought, though, because Sophie, who was standing on the other side of me from Erica, nudged me and whispered, "Look." I looked and saw that it was Prince Peter's turn over on Mrs. Danielson's side of the gym. He stood up and, looking handsome in a green sweater, correctly spelled the word urgent. "Like my love for him," Sophie whispered to me. "It's very urgent." Then we both started to giggle, until Mrs. Danielson looked over in our direction and said, "Girls," in a stern voice, and we both stopped laughing right away. I'm so glad Mrs. Hunter is our teacher and not her. It must be terrible to have a teacher that old, with a neck that wobbles so much. I would cry every single day if Mrs. Danielson was my teacher. The spelling bee kept going until soon there were more people sitting down than standing up, and I was one of them. Sophie got knocked out on excite, which is a hard word, and Erica missed on embarrass, also really hard. I only got embarrass right because I guessed after hearing Erica spell it wrong with one R. Then later I got wallaby, which is a type of macropod, otherwise known as a kangaroo or wallaroo. Really, it isn't fair to give me any type of animal word because I read every book in the library about them, and I went through an extreme kangaroo phase in the second grade. The next thing I knew, I was in the final 10. I couldn't believe it. Suddenly, I was walking up to stand in front of both fourth grade classes with Caroline and one other kid from our class, a boy named Lenny Shu. That was it. We were the only ones left from Mrs. Hunter's class. Everyone else in the final 10, including Peter Jacobs, was from Mrs. Danielson's class. Caroline, I could tell, really wasn't feeling well. She was sweating, and her face looked a little green. I couldn't believe that a full day after eating all those cookies, she was still sick. Although she had eaten an awful lot of them. Mrs. Harrington is a terrific baker. And sure enough, two words after Lenny had to sit down because he misspelled mischief, Mrs. Danielson gave Caroline the word geriatric, and she was out. I wasn't the only person who couldn't believe it. You could tell that everyone in the whole gym was stunned. The champion speller, out on such an easy word. It wasn't even a sixth or seventh grade word. Geriatric was a fifth grade word, and Caroline Wu had missed it. No one could understand what had happened. No one except those of us who knew about Mrs. Harrington's chocolate chip cookies, of course. Now I was the only person from Mrs. Hunter's class standing in the front of the gym. Me and Prince Peter. The pressure was just too much. I knew I was going to crack. Because when the mother of your kitten is at the veterinary hospital in premature labor and you don't know if you're going to get a cat or not, and a girl in your class says she's going to beat you up, and you know if you mess up she's going to do it for sure, it's hard to concentrate on spelling. That's a rule. But maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'd do okay. Maybe Mrs. Danielson would give me the word ingrate, and I would spell it correctly, and I would win the spelling bee for our class, and everyone would lift me onto their shoulders and carry me around, cheering, and people at Pine Heights Elementary would stop considering me the new girl. And Rosemary Dawkins wouldn't want to kill me anymore.